Well, a very warm welcome to Burst Sessions. This is the programme that showcases brand new music from unsigned artists, each episode focusing on one act that has caught our ears here at Burst. This episode, we bring you award-winning Dorset-based folk outfit Ninebarrow. This is an extra special episode as the guys of Ninebarrow are also our showcase band for our multimedia cross-platform MA project Silent Sounds. Over the past few months, we've been working closely with the band on a silent music video, which has been shown on the number 6 yellow bus here in Bournemouth. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome to Burst this evening to play 5 tracks from their debut album, While the Black Form Burns, and discuss both the album and their passions and inspirations for music, John and Jay of Ninebarrow.
Hello.
How are you both?
Very well, thank you very much.
Now, gents, before we talk anything about music, John, you're a primary school teacher.
I am indeed.
And Jay, you are a doctor.
Yes, I am.
How do you manage that around music?
Difficulty?
We don't do a lot else. So
yeah, at the moment it's been kind of get home from work, rehearse, try and get to a gig on time, which is sometimes proving a little bit difficult at the moment. It's tricky. I think it's important to have a work-life balance. And I think this is a different type of work, but we love it. So it makes it a little bit easier.
Now, looking at the music, for anyone who isn't aware of your work, tell us a little bit about your sound.
I mean, we identify it as folk music, and I think some people kind of shy away from the folk genre because they're a bit worried that that word is going to scare people because you think that...
You think lots of scary beards around.
Well, I do have... You know, it's not a scary beard, but yeah, you know, socks and sandals, that kind of stuff. And we're passionate about folk music and the folk tradition, and we're happy to kind of identify with it. So I think that's how we'd categorise ourselves.
Now, before we get right into talking about Ninebarrow, how did you find your love for music?
My dad is a folky, so being brought up as a kid with a dad who ran a folk club for a while and had lots of musicians around playing music in the house, I think that's really where the inspiration for Ninebarrow came from.
So when you guys were at school playing together, what were the sounds you were creating? Were they folky? Were they?
No, not at all. We were doing kind of Goo Goo Dolls covers, and we did some blues, a bit of Van Morrison, and kind of it was a bit of a mixture, really.
So, what was the first single you ever purchased?
You didn't bother, did you?
Believe it or not, as a young child, I really wasn't into music at all. I just wanted to be outside on my bike or causing trouble out in the street somewhere. And by the time I really got into music, it was kind of available online. What about you?
Oh, no, I was a proper pop kid. I think my first one was on Culture Beat. Remember Mr. Vane? That was it. That takes me back just thinking about it, actually.
I don't even know who that is.
No, I don't either. It
would work as a folk cover. So, Jay, you were into your pop music.
Yes.
And, John, what were you doing as a child then, John?
Mostly kind of spending my time outside or playing on the computer, probably. But I think when I did finally get into music, it was bands like Counting Crows that kind of really captured my imagination. And people like Nina Simone as well, actually. I mean, my sister was playing a lot of music in the house at that kind of age, and she had some pretty kind of varied tastes.
It's interesting. It's just popped into my head, really. Your music is very much driven by storytelling.
Mm.
Do you think maybe it actually helped? You know, you spent your childhood out playing and doing. Do you reckon it inspired your imagination?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our stories come from historical aspects of history, local history, or even kind of history from further afield.
We've both grown up around here and, you know, been very much part of, we really enjoy being out and about in the Purbex and in nature, and there's so many historical buildings and so much inspiration to get from just being around here.
And the landscape as well, I mean, that plays a pretty big part in our music.
Now, every song that's happening tonight for the session, it does have a great story behind it. The first song tonight is Summer Fires. Mm-hmm. What's the story behind that one?
We wrote the song over, it must have been Midsummer's Day last year, kind of around that period. We thought it'd be nice to do something about Midsummer. Throughout Europe, there's lots of traditions where people would kind of light bonfires on Midsummer's Day. And the one tradition of kind of leaping over the flames or the embers of the fire in a bid to kind of amass as much good luck as you could before the coming winter came. So Summer Fires is a kind of, it's a story of looking to the future and hoping for the best, really.
Look to the hills behind the field, on the corner coming see between the wind swept bars. of summer fires. The dancing flames of summer fires. You jump high, but I jump high. We'll dance tonight. Across the fire, you jump high, but I jump high. We'll dance tonight across the fire. We'll lead the ox up the winding track until we see the outline black of the village church. It's told us by. That beast around the fire. Walk that beast around the fire. You jump high, but I jump high. You will dance tonight. Across the fire. You jump high, but I jump high. We'll dance tonight. Across the fire. Tie the ox to the hawthorn tree. And reach our clothes up to our knees. As the flames they move in sprightly dance. You'll dance tonight across the fire. You jump high, but I jump high. You'll dance tonight across the fire. You jump high, but I jump high. You'll dance tonight across the fire. Jump high, we'll dance tonight across the fire. Jump high, but I jump higher. We'll dance tonight across the fire.
Last year, 2013, you won the Breakthrough Music Award at the Llama Tree Festival. Tell us a little bit about that, how it came about.
Well, I mean, the Llama Tree was a pretty big thing for us. Even we've been meaning to go to it for years and years, but we couldn't really afford to actually go. But then one year we saved up and we went to it and thought, oh, this is brilliant. And we enjoyed it so much. We started, you know, this is kind of where Nine Barrows started as well. And then we looked to each other and thought, oh, maybe we should just try do some singing, get some songs together and try and sing a bit, try and get a bit of money, and we can save up to get our tickets for next year.
That was the ultimate aim. Was we thought in 12 months, if we could earn enough money through music to pay for some Llama Tree tickets, we'd be winning. But the whole competition, I mean,
that sort of came up, you know, halfway through the year. We saw the Llama Tree Breakthrough Music, you know, entries welcome, and John just said, oh, why not, let's give it a go.
Because we were recording an EP at the time, and we hadn't finished the rest of it. We had one track finished, which was Birdsong, and we decided it was just about mastered and just about good enough to kind of submit to the competition. And we were pretty blown away to actually get through to the shortlist. The whole kind of public vote thing, we thought, well, it was great getting this far. We won't go any further, but it's been brilliant. And then we got through to the live finals and we were like, oh, gosh, this is getting quite serious. And then we thought, well, we'll turn up to the live finals, but we won't win it, but it'll be fun. And then we won it. And
it was a brilliant experience to actually get there and play in the summer. And, you know, again, we got to the tent and we were playing on the Thursday, which we didn't think was going to be, you know, incredibly busy. But we got to the stage, we got to the big tent, the Arc tent, and, you know, it sits about 300 people. And we thought, you know, we'd have a couple of rows at the front. And then
mostly our family.
Yeah, making lots of loud cheering noises.
But it was absolutely packed.
Yeah, and it was such an experience.
There was no other music going on at the time, though, so they had nothing else to go to, so they had to basically come and see us or listen to nothing.
You could have gone outside.
Gone to the bar. Yeah. It was an amazing experience, though.
I mean, how was it sharing a stage with C6 Steve?
He was on a different stage.
But we're on that lineup.
Sharing a lineup.
It was great. I mean, absolutely an amazing experience, and to just be a part of it. And it's great wearing the artist wristband, and, you know,
it felt so special. Yeah, getting and going into the artist campsite, it felt very, very special.
You mentioned a moment ago the song you felt was almost mastered was Birdsong, yeah, which is the next song we're going to hear. Tell us a little bit about the story behind that.
We've been playing together as Nine Barrow for, you know, the best part of 2 years now. And shortly after we started playing, my granddad heard that we were playing, and he gave us a big stack of old manuscripts that used to be my granny's before she passed away, but she used to sing as well. And, you know, by now they're very yellow and crumbly and quite frail. But we were looking through, he just wanted us to, you know, look through them for some inspiration for songs. And we found this lovely set of lyrics called The Wood Pigeon, is that what it's
well,
called?
It was a kind of a collection of songs called Bird Songs, and within it there was the wood pigeon, the wren, the yellow hammer.
We picked our favourite lines from it. Yeah. There's a few of the other lyrics that are very, very traditional.
They didn't quite fit what we wanted, but it was just a real, you know, beautiful set of lyrics that just capture for us kind of...
And you'd put that riff together on the U, couldn't you? And it just seemed to fit.
Very much what we think of as a bright autumn day in the New Forest. And it just seemed to kind of fit perfectly, really. So we put it to our own tune.
When the harvest all was gathered in the sunny autumn weather, to the green wood by that berry we went foraging together. Through the woods we wandered along, so deep and dark and green. We heard a sweet voice calling us, though no one
Okay, so that was Birdsong by Nine Barrow. You're listening to Burst Sessions. This is the Silent Sounds special. Guys, we just spoke a little bit about playing Llama Tree Festival last year. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously led you on to some great things. You're going to be playing the festival again. What else is coming up?
We've got some really exciting gigs. We've got some good folk festivals. We're playing Bristol Folk Festival in a couple of weeks' time. Chippenham Folk Festival.
Actually going to France at the end of May, because last year we were sort of walking around Folk on the Quay in Poole. So we heard this little sort of French jazz sort of shanty going on, and we sort of sat there and listened, and we sat down with them and they gave us a set of all the lyrics in French, and we did our best French accents trying to sing along.
James was markedly better than mine, as we said.
Don't know what I was saying, but yeah, it sounded all right. But yeah, and then we played for them and they played for us, and at the end of the day they gave us a card and said, "I would love you to play over at our festival."
We run a festival over in Cherbourg. Would you like to come? And we said, "Yeah, of course we would." And we thought we'd never hear back. Yeah. And then we eventually got an email saying, "Yeah, come over." And it's in some old Napoleonic fort, and we get to stay in the fort, and they're going to put us up. And so there's some really good gigs coming up.
Interesting stuff.
Would that be your first gig outside of the UK?
Oh, international, yeah.
Yes, going international over to Cherbourg.
How far do you think you could take Nine Barrow?
It's difficult to really say. I think we love the music, we love performing, and I think we're not living in a dream world and thinking it's not an easy thing to make it professionally as a musician.
And we've seen so many people who are just incredible, who no one's ever heard of. And it's just the sort of thing, you know, to get big, it is very much the right place at the right time, but it could happen to anyone. So
we're not going to give up the day jobs just yet.
No.
Putting an album together unsigned, how do you do that? I mean, we've heard some sounds tonight that are just incredible. And
it's a lot of time.
It is. I mean, originally we set aside a week, a half-term week, and we said, yeah, we'll nail the whole album in a half-term. And I think we realised after the first day that this was very, very ambitious. And I think in the end, we were kind of tinkering on and off with it for about 3 months.
You just can't leave it alone. It's a work of art is never finished, and you just keep wanting to get that little bit right and perfect that bit. And you get to a point where you think, okay, it's good enough. You just got to leave it and let it be. And
ultimately, it was a case of
researching the equipment.
Yeah, I mean, the mechanics of doing it was we got a little portable mini studio, we got a really decent microphone, and we set up a spare room with cardboard on the walls to deaden it all down, lots of nice rugs and stuff to deaden the sound, and we just started going. And as it kind of progressed, we kind of approached other local musicians who we'd played with or we'd seen perform, and asked a few people to kind of get involved with it as well. So we've kept it quite stripped back, but we've kind of expanded the sound a little bit with some strings and a few other instrumental parts as well.
With the equipment available now at reasonably affordable prices, it's still expensive, but it's not what it was. Do you think it's more important for like young artists to be sort of getting into the area and meeting musicians?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of what we love about the music, being out and meeting new people. You know, you can learn so much from watching other people perform, whether they've got masses of experience and they're big national names or not. I think being out and about and meeting people and learning from them as we go, I think has been really important.
Okay, going on to the next track, Mother.
Mm-hmm. There's a hill outside Weymouth called Binkham Hill, and it's got six burial mounds on top of it. And we read this in a book on kind of Dorset myths and legends. Local legend has it that you can hear music coming from these burial mounds, and it's the music of the fairy folk. They're not nice fairies, you know, this isn't Disney. These are fairies that if they manage to capture you, they will sell your soul to hell, which is all quite dark and unpleasant. But we kind of came up with the idea that the story is of a girl who's kind of playing, and she hears the music and she gets enticed to go up this hill. And the fairies take her, and her mother, in a kind of panic, does the only thing she knows to do to break the spell, which is to burn thorns on top of the mound.
The Mayday sun began to set behind the barrows, evening met the day. Washed the hues from blossom trees, and with it brought a chill upon the breeze. Mother, played upon the grass, the eventide, the water sweeping fast.
ribbons, daisy chains, and drew the colour from her gentle frame. Rang through the coals, the final shafts of burnished gold were gone. And with the light, so to the girl, her tinkling bells now high up on the hill. Still felt in her heart the aching chill of fear, and found me where a child had stood, a light black figure carved of wood.
And that one was Mother by Niamh Barrow. That is the track that we've been working on and creating a music video for the project Silent Sounds. Fair to say that is the track that inspired the entire project. When we first approached you both about working with us, what were your initial thoughts?
Just really flattered that anyone would approach us for anything, really. Because and you know, we think we've actually inspired somebody to do a different project. That just feels, it feels brilliant.
Yeah.
Really flattered.
And I think, I mean, it's a fascinating project as well. The idea that to take the story from the song and try and tell it really with images and not lyrics. I think it's a really interesting partnership, because a lot of what we do is about the storytelling, you know, through the lyrics and music, and to see someone else's interpretation of the story but putting it to film instead of music, I just think it's fascinating. We're really looking forward to seeing what you guys come
Absolutely.
Up with.
Absolutely. This is what, if you think making an album is expensive, you know, making a video for it is, you know. It'd be amazing to actually have the opportunity to see some sort of visual stuff come to life with the songs.
Needless to say, we don't have any music videos.
I thought it was interesting when you guys posted on Facebook about working together with Silent Sounds. Mm. One of the comments was mentioned about they love how you work with multimedia.
Yeah, I think that's probably a reference to our songbook. With the album's being released soon, originally we were going to produce it as a book to sell, but it was so expensive to have these books produced. Someone would end up having to spend about 30 quid on it. So in the end, we did it digitally, and it's free and available on the website. But it's got the lyrics in it for a start, which we wanted people to have them available, but also it's got photos, images of places locally or elsewhere in the country that have kind of inspired that particular song. And then on the accompanying page, there's the story behind the song that just explains it a bit more.
That's what we love doing, actually, in our live shows, is actually being able to explain the story. And we thought, we can't really do that on a CD.
If we were doing an hour's worth of material on stage, it'd break down at least 15 minutes of that hour would be storytelling and not us doing music. But we always feel that when we play a song and we don't explain it, that a lot of the meaning gets lost. So it's nice to be able to give people the opportunity that are interested to be able to go and find out a little bit more about the songs.
Because the songbook is the artwork taken from the album cover.
Yeah, that's part of it as well.
Okay, who was behind the artwork?
That's my sister. She's done three beautiful kind of CD covers. The first one was for our demo, and the second one was for our EP. And we approached her hesitantly saying, Sarah, we're going to do an album and we really need some artwork for it. Would you mind? Because obviously, you know, she works full time and these bits of artwork take a lot of preparation. But she paints it all with acrylic paint. But she's incredibly talented.
We sat down for ages, didn't we? We were trying to think what would be a good title for the album. And, yeah, you know, we were going through lots of different lines. We didn't think any of the actual song titles themselves were sort of striking enough for an album. But we were thinking some of the lines from the songs. And we just said, While the Blackthorn Burns. And that just to us, you know, that automatically made so many pictures in our mind. Mm. And, you know, we gave it to Sarah and she had, luckily, the same sort of thoughts in her mind as well.
I think she very quickly thought, right, yeah, I can definitely work with that. And again, it's great kind of seeing what she comes up with, but it's fantastic to have someone in the family that is willing to kind of give you that amount of time and that amount
of
effort.
Very lucky. Love Sarah.
Last proper question really would be, just how important do you think storytelling is in music?
I think it depends on the genre, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you can get a very, very long way in music with songs that make absolutely no sense whatsoever, but at the end of the day, they're catchy and people love them and they get stuck in your head for ages. And, you know, in one sense, no, it's not really that important. But, you know, to folk music, I think it's the best thing about folk is that you feel like you're handing down stories from one generation to the next that are going to hang around, hopefully, forever. Yeah, and that's what we really love. And that's what we do try to sort of keep going.
You have endless debates with people, you know, what is folk music? And most people on the folk scene agree that it's such a broad genre of music and it encompasses so many different kind of subgenres, if you like. But the folk music that we really love is the stuff that tells a story. And I think, you know, that's the stuff that's inspired us. And that's why it comes through so strongly, really, in the music that we make.
Okay, the next track we're going to hear from tonight's session, and it's the penultimate song for tonight. It's probably my favourite recording from this evening. It's Winter King. Tell us a little bit about it.
But there are quite a lot of songs in the folk tradition that deal with the hunting of the wren on Boxing Day. It's an old tradition where the boys of a village would go out into the woods and hunt a wren.
Bring it back on a stick, basically, because the idea behind it being the wren was synonymous with winter, being the Winter King. And they, on the shortest day, or, you know, Boxing Day after Christmas, they would try and hunt a wren and they would kill a poor little wren, but to signify the end of winter and to bring along the longer days. And that tradition has stayed, you know, for many thousands of years.
I mean, there's still villages that they generally don't hunt it anymore, but sometimes, you know, they'll almost like, you know, Guy Fawkes or something like that, you know, it'll get paraded round. But we didn't really relate to that story, and we felt a bit sorry for the wren, really. So, I mean, Winter King is from the perspective of a woman who sees the wren and sees the boys coming, but desperately hopes that the wren is actually gonna escape. And that's what it's about, really, is the escape of the Winter King.
The wren below my window has just begun to sing. The Winter King. must fly. For the boys they are hunting beneath this lead sky. Lord, you reign these 6 months past, but now it's time to leave this place, traitor.
We go into the final track, which is The Sea. Where can people find a little bit more about you?
We've got a website, which is ninebarrow.co.uk.
It's all one word, ninebarrow.
And we're on all the, you know, normal social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, at ninebarrow, and Instagram.
We're all over the web.
The final track you're going to be playing for us today is The Sea. Tell us a little bit about the story behind that one.
Basically, there's 214 fells up in the Lake District that we're trying to work our way through getting to the summit of. And I think we're on about 60 so far, so we've got about 50 years to go until we actually make it through all 214. But one of them is called Hard Knot. And at the top, there's a really well kind of preserved Roman fort. And the guys who were stationed there during the end of the Roman Empire, they were taken from what is now kind of modern day Croatia. And after they were invaded, And they'd been brought into submission by the Roman legions. They, 500 horsemen from this kind of tribe, were sent to garrison this fort in the, you know, what is now known as the Lake District. And so it's a song about their feelings about having to leave their families in the hope that as the Roman Empire begins to crumble, as it was at that time, and the legions were pulling out of Great Britain, they kind of hope that they're going to be able to do that as well, get back to their families.
Okay, well, Nine Barrows' debut album, While the Black Form Burns, is out now. So if you like what you've heard from the session recorded this evening here at Burst, then you're going to absolutely love the album the boys have put together. If you want to check out the music video we've produced for the track by Nine Barrow, which is Mother, then jump a number 6 yellow bus from Bournemouth and check it out. Thank you for coming in this evening, guys, and thank you at home for listening. We're going to leave you now with the wonderful track from the duo. This is The Sea. Thank you, guys.
Cheers. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Used to be nomads, we travelled the land, watching our herd with fur cap in hand. Our nights they were starless, we slept in the caves, away from the sky, but in sight of the wave. Sword and shield, cutting us down in the dust in the field. Those who left were sent riding forth towards rain, towards rock, to watch over the north. Crumbles and we freeze in the rain. These mountains, these rivers will always remain. Now we're leaving with hopes to be free, southeast to our homes, the wharf and the sea. Think how our wives and our children grow old. We came here with horses 500 strong. South of the wall, the journey was long. In heather and bracken look to the past, winter is coming, and we are the lost. The empire it crumbles, and we're freezing the rain. These mountains, these rivers will always remain. We're leaving with hopes to be free.